All right, we left off actually with a question. Hilcha Shechita Perek Beis. Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel. So the Rambam says, okay, it's quoting a Gemara in Chulin, Adav Tazayin, that if the Mayim are Mesavavin Es HaGalgal, I'm sorry, the next case, Vim Potter Adam Es HaMayim Ad Shabo V'Sivu Es HaGalgal. Right, so the person removed the impediment, some impediment that allowed the water to flow, and it made the Galgal turn. V'shachat b'svivasa reizu k'shera, sh'rei mikoach ben adam ba. B'medvar mamurim b'sviva rishona, sh'hi mikoach ben adam. Aval m'sviva sh'niel achareha, eina mikoach ha'adam, ela mikoach ha'mayim b'halichasan. So the question, I mean, you could ask it different ways, but even just looking at this halacha by itself, even not knowing the case of Bitkin and Maya, you do wonder, how is it that they determine that Koach Rishon, which will be the Koach HaAdam, is the Sviva Rishona, is the first rotation, the first turn? It sounds very arbitrary. Maybe it's two turns. How do you decide, why should that be the criteria when the, what's considered, when the Koach of the Adam? Why not a half a turn? Three quarters of a turn? Two turns? How do you decide one turn? And the question that you raised, Chaim, was, and you see that that's not the criteria by Bitka Demaya. Because Bitka Demaya, you're not dealing with any turns. And it seems, according to the way at least Rashi explains it, Koach Rishon is whatever's landing on the guy that's Al Sfas Hayam. It's not even the first thing that lands on him. Doesn't appear that way. Then it doesn't say he gets killed with the first splash. So the idea of Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni, is unclear. What defines it as Koach Rishon, what defines Koach Sheni? And the cases don't seem alike. Yeah. Yeah. And Rashi, by the way, if you looked at the Chul and Tazayin, yeah, Rashi says, Rashi learns the same way as the Rambam, you know, what the issues are by the Shechita. There's one funny Rashi there, I don't know if you caught it, where he says, the Rashi, Koach Rishon, Miyad kishenot ha'odaf ha'ma'ake v'samayim v'hizchil ha'galgel v'tchilas gal gilgulo shachat mikoach adam shenot ha'odaf. Yeah, that Rashi's good. The second Rashi, B'koach Sheni, La'acha she'gilgalo ha'mayim es ha'galgal pam rishona u'shnia. Yeah, the Achronim had the real difficulty with that. But it seems most of them learn, especially the Rashash, that Rashi really only means the first spin. So not to, let's just keep it that way, because because that's the Rambam anyhow. Let's not multiply Machlokasin. But that's how they learn. I just wanted to point that out. Does Rashi add anything about Bitka Demaya in Chulin? What does he say there? Kofsei Kashro, Da'ashkalei Bitka Demaya, Shehifne Hamayim Lavor Alav, V'niyaruhu. Chayef, the Hargo Mamish, Ba'osin Amayim, Vahain Hain Kli Zaina. You see the same basic description that Rashi has. instead of saying hein hein chitzav, he says hein hein kli zayna, meaning it's a weapon. It's a weapon. The person utilized the weapon. That's what Rashi means. That you mamish killed him with that water. The water is a weapon. And hein hein kli zayna. That's his chitzav, his knife, whatever. V'lo havi grama. B'koach rishon shekashru samach l'svasa yimayim. V'kevin shenikev nekev b'svasa mayim. And since he bore a hole into whatever was holding it back, like he says over there in Sanhedrin, Begidro Sayen, there's some kind of something holding back the water, some kind of fence, some kind of wall. Miyad boa mayim lepiv. Immediately the water hits his mouth. Aval bakoa sheni shekashu berichuk v'mayim holchu sham af yishu nikev hanekev v'hifnu l'sham. Potter, the grub of Almo. Yeah, he tied him up, Berichuk, and then the water traveled there, even though he made the hole and directed it in that direction. Potter, the grub of Almo. Yeah, it's interesting, Rashi. In that Afalpi. Yeah, Rashi is attempting, he's bothered by the problem. Like, how do you exactly, why is that koach sheni? Even though he directed the water there, he made the nekev, he directed the water, makes no difference. That's koach sheni in that case. And by shechita, it goes by the galgal. Yep, good problems. Yeah, definitely good problems. And there was, he's saying in the first case, yeah, why does it stop at Koach Rishon? Because you're saying, what, you accomplish, that's the Chaticha? And in the case by Bidkid, that's what you're trying to accomplish, a Chaticha, right? That's what you mean. Okay. And in the case of Bitke de Maya, what are you trying to accomplish? Uh-huh. So why is the fact that it hits the ground and then travels somewhere else? I mean, that's his intention, right? Is to drown the guy at a distance, no? Right, that's the problem, right? Because in the case of Bitke de Maya, if you go by that idea, so then you would say, well, even if he's at a distance, so it should be still Koach Rishon. And yet, no, somehow it's not Koach Rishon. Yeah, that's the sticky point here. There's no doubt about it, that's a problem. I was wondering like this, I'm not... Yeah, it's difficult, but let me do my best attempt here. Similar to what you're saying, maybe one little modification. Let me first describe it, and then we'll see if we can define it. You have two things here. One is, objectively, what is the guy doing? So objectively, he removes the daf, the thing that's restraining the water, in order that it should hit that it should turn the galgal, should hit the galgal and turn it. Now, that's the objective thing. Then, there's what his intent is in doing that, which is not an extraneous thing, but it really explains, it really categorizes and characterizes the nature of the Maisa. So he wants to accomplish a Maisa Shechita. So now what I'm saying is that if you want to define what is ascribed as koach rishon, the direct human action, it's those two things together. In other words, he's letting water hit the galgal in order to produce a shechita. So therefore, that is considered his entity of action. Beyond that is now considered koach sheni. That's how the halacha objectified whether you considered his diary. Like, where do you make the cutoff between his force and just saying it's the natural force of the water? Where do you ascribe it that now will be considered the Maisa Ha'adam Bikocha? But in the case of Bitka Damaya, you see, it's easy to understand where the guy is, where you tie him up, Al Svasayam. That fits in easy. Because there the action is directing the water. He's removing something, whatever. He's making a hole in the wall, whatever he's doing, releasing the faucet. And now the water is directly hitting the guy in the face. And his objective is Hariga. So there it's not going to be defined by, there's no idea of a spin, because a spin is never the essence, the spin of a wheel. That was just, like you said, it's just simply to accomplish, that's his intent. That's the definition of the action, to over there was to do an act of shechita. Here it's an act of Hariga. So it might be the water has to flow for 30 seconds. I don't know, whatever it is. But that's going to be considered his entity of action. But, you see, in the case of Koach Sheni by Bitka Damaya, that's because the... in other words, in the case of Bitka Damaya, when you release the water, so objectively the water is what you've directed is the water to hit place A. It's to hit place A. The fact that now it goes to place B and drowns somebody is by definition Grumma, because that's not his entity of action. His entity of action was to make the water go right there. Now, you can't say that what his objective in his mind should qualify that. Because there's a dissonance between the two. Meaning, if that's his intent, then he directed the water at the wrong place. There is nobody there to kill. So therefore, you can't define the entity of action in one unified way as defined as koach rishon, as his act, as his action. In other words, his intent cannot go ahead and work wonders. It defines an objective act that he did. It's an objective unit of action. So if it hits, let's take the galgal again. If it hits the galgal, so that's his objective action. Now the intent can say, well, the nature of that act of hitting the galgal is now defined as to accomplish shechita. Oh, so therefore it's one turn. Then you say that's koach rishon, and after that, it's no longer related to the human being. Now it's simply running on its own. But if you have, just like you're not going to say let's say the guy, oh yeah, let's think over that case. That's good. Yeah, a guy has in mind, oh, I wanted to do the shechita on the fifth turn. It doesn't work. That's just wishful thinking. It has to be certain objective criteria that's defining a certain entity of action. So therefore, again, over here, by Bitkida Maya, Shehifna, Marutza, Samayim, to land right here, that's the objective act. Now you want, now if his intent is murder, so then it will say that as long as the water is related to hitting this spot, it's related to the Adam. But if it goes to a different spot, that has no relationship to his objective action. That's going to be Koach Sheni. Because in the Maisa Shechita, it has to stop in the first one, because the first one objectively accomplishes it. That is a unit of that action. One Galgal is a Shechita. So now you could say his directing the water at the Galgal is now defined by the objective. There's that action. It's an action. It's a human action. You know, and as I don't want this to sound like some ad hoc halachic formulation. And then, no, it's real. Meaning, a human being is doing an action, and now his intent is a qualification and defines the nature of that action. So since his objective is shechita, so then by definition, one galgal, that is the objective standard to accomplish a shechita. So that's how the halacha cuts it off. That's it. I don't care how much, you know, what he's hoping for, praying for, you know, he wants it to do it on the 12th. We don't care about that. This halacha here. So what's his action? His action is releasing water to now cause this thing to spin and do shechita. Well, one spin accomplishes the shechita. So that defines his maisa. That unit of one turn is the definition of his maisa. Why? Oh, because it accomplishes the shechita. By Bitka de Maya, it's a different unit that you're dealing with. It's a different concept. There, it's not amount of spins. The objective is killing him. So that's going to define his maisa. But it could only be within the confines of the objective nature of what he did, which is to make the water go from there straight over to there. That's what he did. That's his maisa. Anything beyond that is not. So the kavanah, his intent, cannot redefine the waters that are flowing later. It'd be like a guy, pour something into the ocean, you know. You're not going to say it's added, it goes to infinity. There's a certain objective framework. Yeah, we're saying it's one turn because since it's a wheel, one revolution objectively accomplishes a shechita. All right. Look at Simen Kuf Nun Tes in the Tilas Yadayim. Seif Tes. In the middle of that case, Ve'em Haya Barza Benekev. I think in the Mechaber's case is like the guy has a chavis, and then there's some kind of a spout that comes out of the chavis, or maybe the Rama says Dover so same hanekev. Okay, and it has an aperture, an opening, and you can open and close it. So he says, Ve'im haisa barza benekev, ve'hesira, V'kibel hamayim al yadav. Choshev shapir koach gavra. V'tzarech lahachzira ulahasira b'chol shvicha u'shvicha. Okay? So, very similar to the cases we're doing. It's not exactly the same. And here, the halacha is that netilas yadayim requires koach gavra. And you know, of course, according to the Rambam, koach gavra is not literal because he learns that even a monkey could do netilas yadayim. Not on his hands, on yours. Okay, you need koach. I think the Rambam calls it koach hanosein. It has to be defined as a netila. Interesting. But so how do you accomplish it here? Oh, so here it's you're removing the thing and the water flows. But now the halacha is that you must do. You must open and close it with each and every pore. Because if it's not each and every pore, then of course it's going to be koach sheni. Because if you leave it open and the water just keeps on pouring, you won't call that koach gavra. Now you'll say it's koach sheni. Meaning that's the natural flow of the water from whatever, gravity, whatever, pressure, whatever the case may be. Okay? So I only had one problem when I read this Shulchan Aruch. The principle I understand. It follows what we've been saying. But what is b'chol shvichu shvicha? You see, it seems to be there's also some unit there, some entity. But I was wondering, what is b'chol shvichu shvicha? What is a shvicha? A galgal, I know what it is. Landing on the guy's face, I also understand what that is. What is a shvicha? So I think the Mishnah Berurah is bothered by this problem. He says, b'chol shvichu shvicha, pirish, b'chol kiluach v'kiluach. With each and every stream, the lo chashvinim bazeh ba mikocho ela kiluach rishon. Valkain tzarech lachzer lahasir b'chol shvicha u'shvicha. So what does that mean? What does he mean by a stream? How long is a stream? I mean in time. So I was thinking like this, and I could be wrong, but maybe I'm influenced because I wanted to fit into our definition. But that's not such a bad thing, I guess. I was thinking like this, very simple. In fact, I told it to Rebbe, he liked it. I said that a kaluach means the moment it hits your hand. That's the definition. Because the moment the stream hits your hand, you have to turn off the faucet. You have to shut it. Because that defines the action. The action objectively is to hit your hand. And the objective is, of course, netilas yadayim. So the minute it hits your hand, you've accomplished it. Of course, you're going to have to do it multiple times in order to get a revias. Right? Because you have to ultimately be shofech a revias b'chol yad v'yad. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, you see, then the Mishnah Berurah continues. V'kasva achronim, dahanotel al yedei kli, shemesukan al yedei barzel, which I think he means pretty much like our modern faucets. Tzarech lizgor v'leftoach kama pomim l'chol yad v'yad, dehu dak, ve'eno maspik b'kiluach rishon litol yad keroi. You have to open and close a number of times because it's a thin stream. And it won't be sufficient when the first stream to wash your hands due to Tilas Yadayim, Karoi, you know, Kwa'al Pi Alacha, meaning Revius. But in a Hanami, if it was, you know, if there was a way to get a Revius to come out in one thing, of course, you'd only do it once. So I think that's a good, that's a much more objective, you know, for all of us when you're stuck without a Kli. And by the way, you know, the Mechaber is interesting enough. I mean, if you just straight up Mechaber, I haven't seen any Achronim, but it sounds like it's the Lechatchila. He doesn't say any B'di'evits here. I don't know if it's B'di'evits. But in any case, but that's an important thing practically. So if you wash that way, you should turn it off right. You know, you open the faucet, hits your hand, boom, turn it off. Open it again. You know, just keep on doing it multiple times till you get your whole hand with the reverse. Could be a little annoying, but that's what it is. He says, "Imhita chavis malaya mayim." Right, you tip over a chavis that's filled with water. V'holach, v'yashavlo, v'achavis shofeches mayim kol hayom, machmas atiyasa. And then you tip it, and now it flows the whole day because of your tipping it. V'natal yadav mimeno, also lo netila. The netila is good. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, Velo dami lamasha mavor besif test, the koach gavra nechshav rak bekiluach rishon levad. Umitam zet sarach lach zira bechol shvicha l'shvicha, tahasam lo asa maisa beguf amayim, verat shehisir habarza hamonea hamayim lotzeis, velachen lo chashiv bo mikocho rak kiluach rishon hayotze miyad kishe pasuach. Aval hachashasa maisa begufa mayim shehiniya osam umachmas hetiyaso nishpachin kolzman sheshovchin mehachavios bekiluach laolam chashiv bo mikocha. But if you take a look in the Bir Halacha, the Gra actually learns, he says this is a machlokas. Not so simple. I just bring it up. I'm not going to define it now. It's another topic, but just didn't want you to get caught in a. You see that later. But you see, it is actually a machlokas. Yeah, the Mishnah Berurah ultimately decides you should only do that b'di'evet if you have no other choice. Yeah. Okay. All right, I don't know if this is the final word on Kolach Rishon, Kolach Sheni, but at least we've given it some form, some logical form. Okay. All right, so I'm told that we didn't really explain the Tosis now based on Bidke Demaya on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Stop me if we did, but okay. Worst comes to worst, it's just a Chazar. Tosis on Ayin Zayin. So now he says, Vahi de Bidke Demaya. No, I'm sorry, Vahi de Ashkele Bidke Demaya. The Besamach. Now, what Tosis says so far, let's just remember, Tosis laid down the principle of Mitzamtzeim and the idea of Esho Mishum Chitzav. So now he says, and regarding the case of where you divert the flow of water, the Besamach, right, in the Gemara nearby, Afilu Kofso Ve'viosham, even if you tied him up and brought him there, Va'achakach ashkil potter, and afterwards you directed the flow. Your potter, the damil azara chetz utris biyado, dafilu hu kidem vasilkan silka potter, and it's comparable to the case of the chetz, and the shield is in his hand. Even if the guy himself takes the shield away, he's potter. So the kasha is, what's Tosis talking about? This whole kasha doesn't make any sense. What does Bidke Demaya have anything to do with the case of Tris? The whole idea of Bidke Demaya, the chilek is between Koach Rishon and Koach Sheni. That's what that whole sugi is about. Well, what's this Tosis doing? Simply put. How is the kapul the tris? It has nothing to do with the case of tris at all. Now, I don't stand. If a guy, as we said last time, if a guy brought a, let's say one person tied a guy up at the water's edge and left him there. One guy did that. And now another guy comes along and opens up the hole and drowns the guy. Of course the second guy is chayef. Well, what's he talking about over here? What does he mean? Afil kafso ve'viyusham v'achach ashkel potter? No! We don't care who brought the guy there. The Gemara only said that someone tied him up. It's just explained why he's immovable. And why if you direct the water, you're considered a murderer. So what's Tosus talking about? See, the answer is like this. The answer is that Tosus is actually commenting on the Koach Sheni scenario, not Koach Rishon. He's actually showing you fully, wants to make sure you don't make a mistake within the world of Chitzav. Meaning like this. If it's the Koach Rishon case, so that's Pashit. It would never be Potter, the Koach Rishon case. Because in Koach Rishon, you're simply wielding it's Hein Hein Chitzav. Hein Hein Kli Zaino. It's a weapon. So what do I care how the guy got there? It's totally immaterial to us. So whoever releases the water is, of course, the murderer. End of story. But what Tosus is saying is like this. What Tosus is saying is the guy placed the guy at a distance from the water. So now that it's at a distance, never mind Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. It could be Koach Sheni. But you could still be chayiv in Koach Sheni. Why would you be chayiv in Koach Sheni? Because of Chitzav. Meaning, imagine there's a river that's flowing hard, and now you bring a guy to the river, and you tie him up into the flow of the river. Of course you'll be a murderer because of Chitzav. You brought the guy and tied him up, and the water is coming down the stream, and it's about to hit him. That's Sof Chamalavo. So Sof Chamalavo, you could be chayef for because of Chitzav, provided there's a Maisa HaAdam that related to that unstoppable force. So that has nothing to do with Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. If I tie a guy up and Sof Chamalavo, he's there already. I bring him out there and Sof Chamalavo, there's no Koach. It's the Chama's going to come. It's not doing me. But I don't care. I did a Maisa that related him to the unstoppable force. So I'm going to be Chayev because of Eishem Mishum Chitzav. So that's what Tosa is saying, that if you bring the guy, meaning to the more distant spot, and now you release the water, that is exactly comparable to the case of the Tris. Meaning when you brought him to the distant spot, there was no Sof Mayim Lavo. The only place where there's Sof Mayim Lavo is in his mind. So that's the old question of whether or not your what's going on in your mind, is that a mitzaref, the maisa you're doing now with the phenomenon of the chama or the water? And that's the case of tris, we say no. So that's what he says, that's why it's putter, and he brings the tris as a raya. That's what Tosfos wanted to bring out. Don't make a mistake. Because you say, okay, it's very good when you're dealing with Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. That's one scenario. But even in Koach Sheni, you have to know exactly what the halacha is. Because Koach Sheni could, right? If the water was flowing, and you tie a guy up 100 feet away, and eventually the flow of the water is going to get there, and you brought him there and tied him up, you'd be chayef. But if you tie him up and then you release the water, that's exactly the case of Tris. That's what Tosfos wanted to bring out. Tosfos neglected, I guess he must have thought it was Pashut. He neglected to mention that this is the case at a distance, Richuk. What we call the Koach Sheni scenario. Because here it's not about the guy releasing the water. Here it's about Eisha Mishum Chitzav. So within Eisha Mishum Chitzav, it makes no difference who's Koach Rishon, who's Koach Sheni. The Maisa is my Maisa, bringing them to the spot and securing them there, such that the force, the natural force, will kill them. That is considered, of course, if Yehold Eisha Mishum Chitzav, that's your Maisa. That's your Maisa. And therefore your Chayef. Yes. The guy brings a guy, ties him up 50 feet away from the water. At that moment he tied him up, there is no killing agent. There's no unstoppable force. And now he removes, he's Ashkel Bitgidamaya. Which doesn't hit the guy directly, of course, because then, of course, he'd be chayev. No, it hits 10 feet from where the original flow of the water. And now, on its own, it travels 40 feet down and eventually hits the guy. So, are you chayev for that? Satosa says, no, putter. Why? Because that's doma latris. It's doma latris because you brought in the unstoppable, you redefined it after the action of the person. That's how it's comparable. Now, it's true, tris is a little bit different. Meaning there, the guy, his action there was a chetz, but the chetz was harmless. And now he renders it a killing agent after the fact, extraneously, by removing the tris. He doesn't do anything he doesn't speed up the chetz, nor does he position the guy differently. He just removes something that's protecting him, an extraneous thing. So that's considered potter. Why would it have been chayev? We already explained. Because that would have been based on his das. If you put his das, and that makes it one scenario, one related scenario, then you would say it's like Sof Chamolavo. It's Chitzav. So the same thing here. Since at the time when he tied him up, there was no unstoppable force, but now you do an action that creates an unstoppable force to relate to that guy, maybe you'll say that was your plan. That's one unit, one entity of the action of the Adam. Tying him here, releasing the water there. So the answer is you don't say that after the fact. You look at each Maisa separately. You have to look at the Maisa. So when he brought him 50 feet away and tied him up, or brought him out there already tied up, that is not a Maisa of Chitzav. Because it wasn't a Maisa that related to an unstoppable force, except in his mind. So that's when it's based on, when the whole Tziruf is based on mind, Tris is the case that shows you that you're wrong. Okay. Now, the last case on Ayin Zayin Amabez. Ve'omar Rav Papa. Zorak Tzror Lamala. Ve'holchol Etzdadin. The harga chayef. If a person throws a stone upward and it traveled also on in a horizontal motion, okay, and it, meaning it kills you through it at point A, but it kills someone at a horizontal distance from you. So then you are chayef. Okay? So what does that mean? So take a look at Rashi. V'holchol et studen. Derech nefilasa. Means on its downward travel, it also went litzdadim, horizontal. Shelo nafla kinegdo. It didn't come straight down. He didn't throw it up and it came straight down. Ela kashiicho zeres la'aretz haisa misracheches litzdadim. Aval im nafla nochacha. But if it fell directly downward, Vaharga, and it killed Potter. The law of Kohohu, because that's not his Koach. Elihi Choseres La'aretz Me'aleo. But it's simply returning to the earth on its own. Because the minute it got to the apex of the flight, that ends the person's Koach. Because if it wasn't the end of his Koach, it would go further. So therefore, his koach ended right there. Now, why does it come back down? It comes back down because of natural forces. Let's not, you know, I mean, I want to stay away from all science here. Okay? It comes down from natural reasons. So that's not koach Adam. So therefore, it's grama. Okay? Now, right away, you should really ask a good question here. Or a question here. Yeah. There's basically, what's your question, Chaim? Very simple. What do I care if it's not his koach? Eisha mishum chitzav. In other words, he put this stone in a place where the unstoppable force will take over. Why should it be any worse than putting a guy in Sof Chamalavo? That's the question. Okay. Leave that question for a minute. All right? Trust me, the Rishonim are on that. Okay. So go further now. All right? And again, no physics here. Okay? Let's just understand this halachically. So the Gemara says, Amar le mar bar Rav Ashi Rav Papa my timer. Mishum de kochahu. He says, what's your reasoning? That if it's holchel, it's studem, vaharga, yizchayev. But of course, the implication is if it goes up and down, you potter. Okay, that's implicit in that statement. He says, my time, mishum de kochahu. Your reasoning is, rapapa, because of it's his koach. E kocho, tezalel. In other words, he threw it upward. So if it's kocho, it should stay upward. So what did Rav Papa answer him? It's very hard here. You don't know that this is Rav Papa. It confused me when I first made a laning on this Gemara. So what does he answer him? V'ilav kocho. This is Rav Papa talking. And if you tell me it's not his koach, Tezel Atachas. If his koach, if it's not his koach, so then why doesn't it come when it goes, when he throws it up, why does it come straight back down? In other words, wherever he threw it, it should come boom. Like draw like a, you know, like in a triangle, straight line down. Straight perpendicular, straight down. Why does it come straight down? Ela koach kachosho. Rather, what koach kachoshu means, it's really a mixture of forces. So take a look at Rashi. Ela koach kachoshu, eino kocho chazak, ela ktsas kocho, yeshkan. V'hai delo azlula el, mishum shekala koach chozak azrika. Yeah, why doesn't it keep on going up? Because really, the koach of the zore, of the stronger koach of the zrika stopped, meaning the vertical. The vertical koach stopped. Va evin choseres la'aretz. So now that stronger vertical koach came to a conclusion. So now the natural force of bringing it back down to the earth takes over. Aval adayin holechasi mimixas kocho. Yeah, but there's also a horizontal koach that he imparted to it. And when it hits the guy, it's the stronger downward force mixed with his weaker horizontal force. That's basically the way, if I'm reading it, understanding it right, that's how Rashi understands it. The main point is that the halacha views it, that when it hits a guy, let's stud him, there is a human force involved. That's the bottom line. And that's why Yechayev. Yechayev because of Kochav. That's the bottom line of the whole thing. But if it's up and down, straight up and down, you don't say the Yom and Koach is involved at all. Okay? That's how the halacha looks at it. So the question, of course, stays the same. What do I care if it's Kochav? It should be Esho Mishum Chitzav. So take a look. Go back to the Tosas now. Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph. We're skipping the snake case, which we could come back to. Remind me at some point. But take a look a little bit later in the Tosas. Umiyu Kasha. Do you see it? It's in Sof Chamalava. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down in it. Second line, second word in. Umiyu kasha. Umiyu kasha. He the zarak tsro lemaila. Dibesamach mashma diilo azal litzdodim ela letachas potter. Right, because the Gemara there seems to say that if it doesn't go to the side but only comes straight down, you'd be potter. Amai lechayev midi dahava. Avno v'sakino maso shenicham barosh gago v'naflo beruach mitzuya dechayev mishum esho I bahadi da azli kamazki. Right, Satos asked the kasha, he asked it openly from a case in the first parak, that if a guy puts an evan a sakin or a masa on rosh gago and it falls with a ruach mitzuya, that on its way, if it does the damage, Bahadi da Azli, on its way down, we say, Esho Mishum Chitzav. Kidi Isim Perakama de Babakama. Okay? So, I'm going to skip his, you do it on your own. I just don't want to get lost in his, is a number of possibilities that he thinks that are all dochak. All right, skip down a line. Skip down two lines. He says in the middle of two lines down, Vitzarech lomar, dahainu lamanda amar, esho mishum mamona. That's his real answer. Meaning, en hachanami. This whole statement, this whole business with Rapapa and Mar Baravashi is all going according to Reish Lakish. Of Esho Mishum Amono. So if it's Esho Mishum, if you hold Esho Mishum Amono, you're never chayev as Ritzich of any of these cases. That's just a halachic mechanism, how to be machayev a guy for Esh in the world of Nezikin. So that's why they held, according to, if you'd ask Reish Lakish, so whether you become a murderer, you know, where you don't actually strangle a guy, he'll tell you, oh, when it's Koach Gavra. If you could show me it's Koach Gavra, then I say that's his Maisa B'Yadayim. But in a Hanami, according to Rabbi Yochanan Hol's Esho Mishum Chitzav, if you throw a rock straight up and it comes down and kills a guy, you would say Chayev. The only reason why the Gemara of Papa said Potter is because he's learning like Reish Lakish, and that's why he's seeking out the idea of Koach. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no idea of Koach whatsoever. Koach is not a factor because he holds Esho Mishum Chitzav. So you don't need an idea of Koach. as is clear to us from the whole analysis of Eshem Mishum Chitzav. That's Sof Chama Lavo, or Kofev Kamaso, etc., etc. So that's how Tosus learns. That's how Tosus gets out of this problem. Okay? And at this point, unless we have something else to say about this, now this brings us into the world of the Rambam, and ultimately into Reb Chaim. And although it's not the opening kasha of the piece, of course, Reb Chaim in the piece raises the problem that the Rambam paskins definitely Esho Mishum Chitzav, and yet, of course, he paskins exactly like Rav Papa that you need Koach. So, of course, the question rears its, you know, comes back. Hadra Kushtia Leduchta, why do they care about Koach if you hold Esho Mishum Chitzav? So that's what I would do next. I would do the Reb Chaim on Hilchos Shcheinim, Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph, Halachas Aleph and Beis. Do it really carefully. Like, really think it through, you know. Even sometimes don't think too much about Reb Chaim's words. You know, try to work it out on your own, the problems he presents. Make sure you look up, by the way, don't cheat. When you read the Kasha, I'm telling you, look up the Rambam, look at the Magid Mishnah. He quotes him. You know what I mean? Just look it up. Just do a thorough job. If you really want to get the full, the full ideas from the Reb Chaim. You know, take it slowly there. I mean, the opening Kasha is an unbelievable Kasha in itself. I mean, we haven't done that case yet. But you'll see. It's a very worthwhile piece. Now, you will have some time to prepare it, because next week I'll be in Israel, and the week after will be Shavuos. So you got plenty of time to prepare that, Reb Chaim.